Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
We are just weeks away from what is expected to be a hotly contested general election. What are the thoughts and expectations of some of the political parties taking part? On Behind the Herald Headlines, today we catch up with Andrew Whitfield, provincial leader of the official opposition Democratic Alliance. Andrew, thanks for joining us. Party leader John Steenhuisen is currently crisscrossing the country on a Rescue SA roadshow. Does that form the major theme or focal point of your election campaign?
No, this is just the cherry on top, I think, as we go into the last few weeks, Darren. We've got two big rallies here in the Eastern Cape. One is on Tuesday the 30th at the Feather Market Centre, and the next one is in Buffalo City on the 7th of May. And what we're doing is really just trying to drive home our message of hope and our rescue plan to put South Africa back on a pathway to prosperity, because there's general consensus in the country that we're moving in the wrong direction. We believe that we've got a good track record in government, not just criticizing the ANC and their poor record, which I think is self-evident, but tabling real solutions which have been costed and well-researched and that are evidence-based to demonstrate what South Africa could look like under a DA multi-party coalition after the 29th of May.
You got just over 20% of the total vote, I think, in 2019. You're expecting growth, I would imagine. Where will that growth come from?
Absolutely, we're expecting growth. As I said, I think most South Africans agree that we're moving in the wrong direction. And as always in South Africa, we are spoiled for choice with political parties. And so it's not as though people don't have choice in this election. We believe we present a credible and compelling choice to voters. And we are going to do everything we can to squeeze out every last drop of support that is available. I can speak about the Eastern Cape specifically and what we have been doing. We've been focusing on obviously where our base support is, but we've also been focusing on growth markets, Darren. We've often been criticized for not being as present and available in the Far East constituencies of the province. And over the last few years, I developed a strategy to win some support in rural areas. And we've seen in 2021 some really exciting blue shoots of growth, if I can call it that, in different rural communities across the former Transkei. That growth in 2021 has been sustained in our strategy to spread our support across a number of new constituencies and communities in the rural parts of the province. And so we do expect growth amongst voters in rural villages. We are expecting growth amongst our traditional support base in the urban areas where the DA does particularly well. And in the past, we've probably predominantly focused on those areas, but now we've spread our resources and our attention. I've spent a tremendous amount of time and done about 3,000 or 4,000 kilometers worth of travel on that side of the province, on the east of the province, energizing our troops, making sure that we are delivering our message in a compelling way. I'm really, really proud of the support that we've been able to generate. We had an enormous march in Matatiel. We've had huge events in Butterworth and surrounding areas around Kumbu and Mthatha, and in some of the most rural villages outside Mount Frere up in the mountains on the boundary with KwaZulu-Natal. So there is no area that we have not gone to. We have a footprint absolutely everywhere. And I'm confident that in the Eastern Cape, we are going to contribute to the growth of the DA at a national level.
The emergence of numerous smaller or new parties, mostly amongst voters who are opposed to the ANC, does that concern you rather than having them coalesce around your flag, for want of a better phrase?
Well, I think what's really exciting in this election is that voters have a pool of parties to choose from who've agreed to work together. What was originally called the Moonshot Pact, which was announced by John Steenhuisen last year, is now known as the Multi-Party Charter for South Africa. And that multi-party charter has a number of political parties who've agreed on a common set of values and principles, have agreed on a common set of policies. One of them was being launched today around social relief for the vulnerable in our country. And I think that offers voters something that has never been on the table in any previous election. We obviously are going to do everything we can to compete with our opponents and try to get and consolidate as much support as we can. But if people really can't stomach the idea of voting for the DA, and I'm happy to try to convince them otherwise, there are a group of political parties which have agreed to work together. That is significant, not just in electoral terms, but in the maturity of our democracy, that we're prepared to put aside our differences for the most part and work together to rescue South Africa. I'm very excited about that. And I believe that that multi-party charter is going to send a very positive message in this election, that hope is on the horizon and that change is just around the corner.
We've unfortunately, on that point, seen a little spat recently between John Steenhuisen and Ryze Mzansi. What happened there, and is it going to be sorted out?
Well, Ryze Mzansi have decided not to be part of the multi-party charter. So they are what we term the opposition to the opposition. Instead of trying to work together to unseat the ANC and to establish consensus on what is best for South Africa, they appear to be camping out predominantly in the Western Cape, which is absolutely their right to do so. But then to pretend that they are equally opposed to the ANC is somewhat contradictory in political terms. We understand the political landscape relatively well. Every political party is free to campaign where they choose to. But when they choose to opt out of a historic multi-party charter agreement, I think that sends voters a message that they're not entirely serious about rescuing South Africa, in my opinion. Their policies are very much aligned to the African National Congress. And, you know, all is fair in love and war, Darren. You know, I said that in the multi-party charter, we put aside our differences as much as possible, but sometimes differences will occur. That is the nature of life and politics. But those outside of the multi-party charter, you know, they are fair game. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all competing for votes. And the best arguments and the best ideas are the ones that need to win. And we hope that that will be the case in this election.
What does your research show you in terms of expected voter turnout? Some surveys that I've seen suggest voter apathy. Others suggest the opposite. The voters have been energized. What do you see?
Well, I can tell you we're in Pearston today for a by-election. And I've just been to some of the voting stations. And if that was an indicator of turnout, I'd be very excited about the election at a national level. Generally, national elections have a much higher turnout. And local elections have a lower turnout, which is rather strange because all politics is local at the end of the day. And you would imagine that we would see a higher turnout in local elections. I think that we will probably have the lowest turnout of a national election in this election, in spite of it being the most important election since 1994, 30 years since the dawn of democracy. We now have an opportunity in a hinge of history election to turn a new page in the story of our democracy in a new chapter and write perhaps a new story even. But at the end of the day, as I've said, my opinion, and perhaps some people might not like this, but the most selfish thing that any registered voter can do on election day, on the 29th of May, is to not vote. Because it's not as though there isn't choice. There are tens and tens of parties, I think 70 or more political parties eligible to vote for. There are almost too many choices. So I don't think anybody has a credible excuse not to vote on the 29th of May if they are registered to vote. We will do everything we can to drive turnout of our voters up. That is the name of the game. But at the end of the day, we really are trying to inject a sense of hope. We've got some very positive TV ads and radio ads that are trying to inspire voters to come out and vote for the DA. And as I said, if not for the DA, for the multi-party charter coalition and one of our partners in there, so that we can hold hands together and put South Africa on a new pathway to prosperity.
Let's take a look at the DA's election manifesto. Major issues for most voters across the board appear to be crime and the economy / unemployment. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I think the two go hand in glove. Darren, I'll give you an example. The World Bank issued a report in September last year that cited South Africa, the crime in South Africa, it contributes to 10% of GDP lost. So to try and put that in different terms, 10% of our GDP is lost to crime. That is a significant impact on our economy, our gross domestic product, which inevitably has a bearing on employment figures. The Eastern Cape has the highest unemployment figures of any other province in South Africa. 37% was the unemployment rate in 2019 when Premier Oscar Mabuyane became the Premier of the Eastern Cape and promised to create jobs. It's now nearly 42%. That is a 5% differential. Unemployment is increasing in the Eastern Cape, but it is going down in the Western Cape, where unemployment is closer to 20%, the lowest in the country by a long way. It is less than half of what it is in the Eastern Cape, and all indicators by economists seem to point to the fact that the Western Cape will be the first province to dip into the teens, under 20% unemployment in the not-too-distant future. So we are creating hundreds of thousands of jobs in the Western Cape because there's good governance. There's a deliberate attempt by the Western Cape government and local authorities to deal with crime through the law enforcement advancement program. So even where policing is not the competency, we use the legislation at our disposal to try and keep communities safe, to protect the economy, to make sure that we attract investment to create jobs. So absolutely, we've got a plan to deal with crime. We believe in devolution of policing powers away from Pretoria and down to capable and local provincial authorities. We believe that we need to deploy more technology in the fight against crime. Sadly, Darren, you'll see every other week cash and transit heists and kidnappings. These criminals are organized syndicates with better technology than the South African Police Service. So we need to take the South African Police Service, professionalize it, and bring it into the 21st century. It is fighting 21st century criminals with 20th century technology. That is absolutely critical. On the economy, we need to build an enterprise economy that really incentivizes small business growth so that small businesses can become big businesses. And we don't want people to be sitting on the streets without work. We don't want people to be standing in unemployment queues and waiting for grants. We want people to be active members of our economy by creating entrepreneurs who ultimately can become the employers of the future.
I think we'll leave it there. We appreciate you joining us. Always available, provincial leader of the Democratic Alliance, Andrew Whitfield. All the best.
Thank you very much, Darren.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.